Galatians 2, Paul writing to the church of Galatia, which is in the region of modern-day Turkey. And he says in verse number 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. We had a guest speaker Wednesday night, and he, you know, I don't believe he meant anything wrong or in error, but I want you to understand something, that when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, in faith, believing for the forgiveness of sins, He forgives your sins. And I believe what the brother was saying is that if you want your life to change, you've got to be all in. You need to surrender. You need to walk with Jesus. You need to be in His Word. I completely agree with that. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, that is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We cannot brag about our salvation because Jesus paid our salvation. He's the one that applied the blood. He's the one that forgave our sins. All we did is look to Him and say, I need help. That's what it took. And so Paul here, as he writes to the church, because, you know, this goes around. Guys, I know that we look at people sometimes and we say, well, they're not a Christian or they can't be saved. But that's not up to you to decide, and that's not up to me to decide. There's no church that can decide that. The only one who can decide that is me for my salvation, turning to God, and God says yes every time anyone's asked for salvation. God has never told us no. If anybody's ever asked for forgiveness, He's never said, no, you're too rotten. Now, your mama probably said that. I know my mom said that when I was growing up. You're rotten. But God forgives our sin. That's why He grew the tree. That's why He looked down through time and Jesus died on the cross anyway. He knew we were faulty. He knew we had errors. He knew we would get saved and still not be perfect. He knew that. He knew that some would get saved and go back to the old way. But Jesus died on the cross to give us a perfect salvation. I'm not perfect, but my salvation is. My Savior is. My sins are washed away by the blood. The Lamb was slain, crucified for our sins, and that satisfied the debt. What about this sin? Satisfied. What about this sin? Satisfied. What about the one after I got saved? Satisfied. Every sin I ever committed was after the crucifixion of Jesus. Every one of them. And every one of them was paid by the blood of Jesus. Then He rose from the tomb. Isn't that incredible? The debt was paid when He died on the cross. The perfect Lamb of God was slain, satisfied. And then He went into the tomb for 3 days, 3 nights. Sunday morning they came to the tomb. There was nobody in there. His clothes were there. He folded them up and put them there nicely. But He wasn't there. And He rose from the dead. If He had died for my sins, that would be enough to keep me out of hell. If He had died for my sins, it would be enough to redeem me to God. But He did more than that. He came out of the grave. And you know what He did by doing that? He gave me eternal life in heaven. He gave me eternal life, everlasting life. He gave me eternity. Isn't that incredible? He gave me the assurance of resurrection. When I die, if I die, you can put me in a tomb, bury me in the ground, cremate me, cast my ashes into the wind. Prefer you wouldn't do that. Doesn't matter what you do with my remains. Because on resurrection day, He can collect every ash and pull it back together so that I can stand before Him for judgment in this body and give an account of those things which I've done in this body, the Bible says. It doesn't matter what you do with my body. If I If I'm not called out of here in the rapture and I end up dying and being buried, that's okay, because he can restore that body no matter how long it's been in the grave. But he's only going to restore it for judgment. And then after judgment, I'm going to get a new body. I don't know if you get the pick. He gave us assurance of eternal life, and then he ascended into heaven. Isn't that great? If he had died to pay for my sins, that would have been enough. But he didn't stop there. He rose from the grave. And he didn't stop there. He ascended to heaven, where he sits on the right hand of God. And he's a mediator, which means that when I pray, Jesus receives my prayers and presents them to the Father. Why? Because the only access I have to God is through Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? Well, why when you pray do you say, in Jesus' name? You don't have to, because when we pray to God, we're going through Christ anyway as a child of His. If He had died, that would have been enough. If He had risen from the grave, that would have been extraordinary. But now He sits on the right hand, hearing my prayers, hearing your prayers, giving the Father our prayers. And then He didn't stop there. Well, isn't that enough? He didn't stop there. In fact, he said in the book of John, he was talking to the apostles. He said, guys, I want you to understand something. If I don't go, it's just me. But if I go, the Father's going to send another comforter. And he won't just be with you. He'll be in you. Now, I believe right now, I believe Jesus is with us this morning. I believe he's in the room. I believe God's presence by the Holy Spirit. He's with us today. The Bible declares that that is the case. He gave us the Holy Spirit of God. What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, the first thing the Holy Spirit did is he said to you, you need a Savior. The first thing he did is he said, you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And that convicted your heart, and you might have fought that. You might have said, well, I'm not a sinner. I got kids, and that's what they, I didn't do it. And we act just like kids, don't we? I didn't do it. I didn't do it. But when we're honest and we don't have to confess to a big crowd, we'll say, okay, I did it. It was me. You did it. You sinned. I sinned. We're all wicked before God, except God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, or with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We can be saved by asking God's forgiveness and putting our confidence in Christ as our Savior, period. Now, once you're saved, I would say, hey, let's baptize you. Let's bury the past in the waters of baptism. It's an illustration. I would say, become part of the church and let's work together to make a difference. The number one thing that we're supposed to do is spread the gospel. Get other people to find Christ. But you know, you don't have to get baptized, and you don't ever have to tell anybody about Jesus, and you don't ever have to read the Bible. You don't even have to go to church. But you should. And it'll help you. If going to church is not helping you, or it's not an avenue for you to help others, then something's wrong. Sometimes we go to church to get help. And sometimes we go to church to give help. That's what we do. But we can put our faith in Christ, and that solves it. Sin's forgiven. Eternal life. The presence of the Holy Spirit. But you know, he didn't stop there. He said, I'm coming back. No, he didn't stop. He said, I'm coming back. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that incredible? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Look at this. And receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that incredible? You see, he didn't stop at the cross, and didn't stop at the tomb, and didn't stop at the ascension, he didn't stop with the Holy Spirit. He gave us a promise. He said, I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back for you. And not only that, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's never left us. Once we're saved, we're always saved. We're not always good, but we're always saved. We have the presence of God. You say, Pastor, is God with me in the morning? Yes. Is God with me when I go to work? Yes. Was He with me when I had that accident? He was there. Was He with me in my sorrow? He was there. Is He with me when I can't hear Him? He's still there. There's times in our lives as children of God, we're not hearing Him. We don't know what to say. But I have found the very best relationships, the men who are comfortable with themselves. And I've said this before, the two of us could get in a vehicle and drive an hour and never have to say a word. Not because we don't like each other, but because we don't have to fill the air with foolish conversation. You ever been around somebody just had to talk all the time because they're uncomfortable with silence? Guys, if I'm not talking to you, it doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean that. It means I'm comfortable being around you without having to fill the air with conversation. My dad used to call me. And we'd talk a while. And then the conversation would run out. And I'd wait. But you know, he just wanted to be connected. He didn't have anything to say. I didn't have anything to say. He just wanted to know I was there. You see, Jesus didn't stop at the cross or the tomb or the ascension. Sitting on the right hand or sending us the Holy Spirit, He's with us today. If you are a child of God, you know how you can become a child of God right now. From your heart to God's heart. You could say something to God like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for my sins. And I accept Him as my Savior and ask You to forgive my sins. God, I give my life to You. You know, if you'll pray a prayer like that, God will hear it. And He'll save your soul. He'll forgive your sins. He'll write your name in the book of life. He will send the presence of the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And you'll never be away from God again. Verse number 17 says, if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Let me express something to you. Jesus did not cause your sin, and Jesus does not approve of your sin. Jesus does not approve of our sin. Yes, He still loves us. Yes, He'll forgive it. Yes, He's still our Savior. But He does not approve of sin. Because sin, by definition, does two things. It hurts us, and it hurts God. By definition, now maybe it hurts other people too. But by definition, sin does two things. It hurts us and it hurts God. But He loves us anyway. Verse 18. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Here's what happened. You went to God and you said, God, I put my trust in You. I accept Christ as my Savior. Ask You to forgive my sins and save my soul. And He crushed the sin that was in our lives. Crushed, gone, destroyed. And then we walk away from talking to God and go out and start doing it again. Start building that life again. Start building that sin again. Start building that temptation again. That obsession again. Is that God's fault? No. It's our fault if we do that. 19 says, I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Here's what I want you to understand about the law. The law in the Old Testament is the standard of God. God's standard has not changed. He still says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. You need to honor your parents and rest on the Sabbath and keep it holy and take no other gods before me and not have any graven images. Take the Lord's name in vain. He says, all that stuff, still the law. Don't covet. He said, don't, all that, still the law. Verse 19 says, but I want you to understand something. You're free. You're free. So now we get to make a choice. Now we get to choose. Are we going to serve God or not? Now we get to choose. Are we going to be thieves and killers and liars and cheaters? Or are we going to honor God? Are we going to build relationships or tear them down? Are we going to have a better life? Or are we going to keep drowning in that life? Guys, I'm telling you, sin is going to destroy you if you don't let it go, if you don't get it out. Whether you've never trusted Christ and this will be the time that you trust Him and He washes your sins away, or if you've been saved for half your life and you just keep going back to sin, I'm telling you, if you'll get that sin out of your life will be better. Not, I want you to understand something. We live in the liberty of salvation. I don't live in jeopardy. I don't wonder, you ever ask somebody, are you going to heaven? They say, well, I don't know. Well, you're the only one that does know. You're the only one that can get saved for you. I can't get saved for you. You got to do it yourself. Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Listen, it's not a grading scale. Either you've asked Christ for forgiveness or you haven't. Either you're saved or you're not. And you're the only one who can pray that prayer and ask God's salvation. Verse 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that incredible? You say, nobody loves me. Jesus does. And he's done more than anybody could ever do for you. Jesus loves you. But Pastor, you don't know how bad I am. No, but he does. And he loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. He loves me anyway. You see, I don't need to confess my sin to you, and you don't need to confess your sin to me, but we must confess our sin to God. Ask His forgiveness, and He washes all our sins away. Look at verse 21, and we'll finish. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You see, it's important for us to remember, no matter who says it. In fact, the Bible says if anyone comes bringing any other gospel than what you've heard preached, let him be accursed. If somebody tells you you got to be baptized to go to heaven, stop listening to them. If somebody tells you that you got to go to church to go to heaven, stop listening to them. If they tell you you have to be a good person to go to heaven, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm not here to encourage you to sin. I'm not here to encourage rebellion. I'm not here to encourage laziness and apathy toward the ministry. Because I'll tell you why it's so important that you go to church. Because when we go to church and we hear God's word and we get in God's presence and with God's people and worship Him, it improves who we are. It encourages our faith. It increases our faith. And who's going to tell the world about Jesus if we don't come together as a church and get encouraged to go tell people about Jesus? Y'all ever hear about the football team that played on Saturday afternoon, college team, that decided they weren't going to practice anymore? Y'all ever hear about them? Me neither. Well, coach, I'm just going to study my plays at home. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Well, coach, I'll be there. I'm going to play the game, and I'm going to exercise on my own. I got my own routine. You see, me and football, we have an agreement. No, you've never heard of a football team like that, and I've never heard of a football team like that because it's insanity. God said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We're supposed to go to church. We're supposed to come together. I don't talk about that a lot, but that's what the Bible says. We ought to be in God's house. We ought to come together. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You don't have to go to church to be saved. You don't have to read your Bible to be saved. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. You don't have to go evangelize to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved or to the poor. I'm not going to frustrate it. You want to know what you have to do to go to heaven? You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God, forgive me, a sinner. Jesus told us about two men, it says, a publican and a Pharisee. I think it was. They went into the temple to pray. The Pharisee says, God, I'm thankful I'm not like that old wretched sinner sitting in the back row. Oh, no, God says, I tithe. I go to church, and you know I'm embellishing this a little bit, but you get the idea. I'm a good person. I'm glad I'm not rotten like that guy is. And the publican never so much as lifted his head toward heaven. He smote himself on the chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, this man went to his house justified. You want to be saved? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and give my life to you. Let's stand. Father, we don't want to oversimplify it. We don't want to complicate it. We don't want to frustrate you or your word. You have given us the gift of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And what we have to do is receive it. To accept a gift of salvation from the God of the universe. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for who you are and all you've done. And I pray if there's anyone here this morning that you've tugged on their heart and called them to salvation, that they will be obedient right now, where they are, from their heart to you. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I trust Jesus as my Savior. It is my prayer that they'll be faithful, that they'll be workers, that they'll be active, that they'll find the good life of Christianity, the great experience of being a student of you and your word. It'll give us a better life if we'll be obedient. It'll give us a better life if we'll abstain from sin. But I'm thankful that you've given us the hope and the assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. Again, you can pray from where you are. You can talk to God where you are. Because I can't save you. That's between you and God. This is your opportunity. Appreciate your attendance, your attention this morning. Sometimes it seems like we go to church and hear the same thing over and over again, doesn't it? But that's the message, guys. And we could talk about a lot of things, but the message is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when we leave this place, people say, what does your church believe? My church believes that Jesus died for my sins and washed my sins away when I put my faith in Him. That's what matters. Now they're going to ask you more questions about other stuff, but that's what matters. Anything before we're dismissed. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7. Are there any special things going on this week? All right. Appreciate the reception for our veterans. Veterans, we thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your service. All right. Let's go to the Lord and be dismissed. I'll ask Brother Andy to dismiss us, please.